The joy that comes with winning any election is tempered down the road by the reality of the work to do. Library supporters in Jackson County rejoiced on May 20th when election returns showed voters approving the formation of a new library district covering all of Jackson County. The district, with its own directors and its own taxing power, takes over library operations from Jackson County government. It happened fast. Election May 20th, district officially formed on July 1st. There's obviously much to do and many decisions to make, and not all of the decisions will meet with public acclaim, as the board members are finding out in short order. Maureen Swift is one of the board members, along with Monica Way, Carol Doty, Jill B. Turner, and Susan Kiefer. Maureen, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
Might as well get to the tough stuff first. The headlines in both the Medford and Ashland paper seem to love that rhyme this morning, tax to the max. So your taxing authority for the new district is up to 60 cents per thousand, and the decision of the board is to actually tax at that rate to start with?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. So what were the decisions that led up to this?
The biggest one, of course, is the decision of the Jackson County to demand the payment for the first 5 months in a lump sum as soon as our tax revenues come in towards the end of this year. That means that we're paying for 17 months of service over a 12-month tax base. So we ended up with a very large amount of money that needed to go back to Jackson County very quickly, and that raised the rate very much. So that was the biggest part of what drove that rate higher.
So is Jackson County essentially fronting the library district the money to get started, then expects it back as soon as your money comes in?
That's the case, yes.
All right. And, of course, the property taxes don't come due until November 1st or so, right?
That's correct. So the bill, and I use that term loosely, that's coming to us from the county is for July through November operations. We will technically be paying for the operations starting on December 1st.
All right. And so what's the amount of that bill then?
The bill that's coming to us from the county is roughly around $2.7 million, I believe. Nope, $2.1
million. $2.1 million. And the library operations generally around, I mean, the 60 cents per thousand brings in about $10 million, is that right?
A little under that.
All right.
But obviously, it depends on the property values. The last time I had looked at a number, it was under $10 million, but depending on what actually ends up on the tax rolls in October, it could be over it.
All right, but around $10 million. And what is the actual budget then for just the libraries for a year?
I think we are looking at a budget of around, I mean, we're taxing at that rate. What our problem is that we have not really had the time to do a formal budget. We're working on very large principles. We know how much the county budget is for library operations, and they will be continuing to provide those operations through next June because the contract with LSSI is with them. So we are in the process of forming an intergovernmental agreement with the county to continue that operation of the libraries via LSSI until next June. So we have that number that we know about. We know what we owe them back for the 5 months. One of the other things that went into our consideration was the pickup of the existing extra hours and services that are being paid for by a variety of methods throughout the county. Ashland taxes, Talent has a service fee, White City had a fee in their improvement district. Several of the local Friends organizations were raising money to have additional hours in their local libraries. We made a decision to pick those hours up in part because we felt that not to pick them up would represent a degradation of library services in the county, and that was not what we were elected to do.
All right. So when you say pick them up, you mean you'll just continue to operate the hours. Ashland's library, I believe, has 40 hours a week?
That's correct.
Okay. And I think I see the point here. What you're saying is you didn't want to have one of your first moves be to go backwards in hours at some of these libraries.
Exactly. And that was our concern that would happen. White City had already at some point indicated they weren't going to pick it up. They seemed to have backtracked, but there were no guarantees going forward that they would be able to continue to do that.
All right. You mentioned you know what the county budget is for libraries. What does it pay LSSI for a fiscal year to do the job?
The budget that they had on is that we would be paying is approximately $5.1 million. Now, that's not what it costs, but that's what we would be paying. There are some revenue offsets to that number. For example, overdue fines. There are some other small sources of revenue. So we're not paying the entire contract bill with LSSI, which is in excess, I think, of $6 million a year.
All right. So let's just talk about some timelines here. The election was on May 20th. And, of course, this is not just a yes or no vote in the library district, but the elections of the board of directors members. So there were five slots, six people up for a vote, so only one person got left out. How soon, though, after the certification of the election, could you actually meet as a board for the first time?
July 1st was the date that we were elected to begin on.
Oh, true. You couldn't actually meet before there actually was a
district
in existence.
Not as a board. We were not meeting. We could unofficially meet before that date. And, in fact, some of us did have an opportunity to meet with the county to get an broad overview of what we were coming up with. So we did talk among ourselves prior to that date. It was a luxury that we had since we weren't an officially impaneled government agency at that point. We could talk among each other. At this point now, because we are, we're subject to the open meeting rules, and no more than two of us can have a conversation before we're subject to public meeting law.
Right. So, okay. So that's an interesting, that's not a situation people often find themselves in government, is you actually have some time to meet before you actually become a government.
Right. So, I mean, forming a new government has proven to be an interesting challenge. There are a lot of things that, you know, the counties and the cities have been doing for years that we have to start from scratch on.
All right, we're talking to Maureen Swift, who's a member of the Jackson County Library District Board. We are talking about the operation of libraries. Obviously, the district took over on July 1st, did decide just yesterday to go up to the full 60 cents per thousand assessed valuation for its first round of property taxes. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here from it's a dropped-off message from David in Talent, who apparently was a campaign contributor and a canvasser for the libraries. He says, I urge the board to act like fiscal conservatives, pinch pennies, and make no promises about additional services yet until they better know how it will work. I'm concerned that you're talking about adding services and hours that could put you in over your heads. I'm a supporter of the library, and if any promises go unkept, it will really turn voters off to future possibilities. That, again, from David and Talent. I imagine you're hearing a few things. I mean, it sounds like there's been lots of feedback already on the moves you have made.
Yes, and frankly, several people had talked with me even prior to this decision, and I will tell you that about half of them were encouraging us to go up to the full 60 cents, and others were encouraging, you know, us to go the other direction. To the specific comment that was made, once we get past this year and we're not paying for 17 months of operation, we actually will have more money to deal with. And so right now we are being very conservative in our look at what we might do to add additional hours or services. And frankly, we don't have a lot of money to do that. It is something that we will be talking about over the next several months. We are cognizant of that, and plus the fact that coming down the road in not a very long time are going to be things such as we will need to purchase vehicles. Currently, the county uses their vehicles to enable materials to be delivered between the 15 library branch buildings. They're not going to continue to do that forever. We're going to have to purchase our own. So that's just one example of a capital need that is going to be coming down the road that we need to start building up funds towards.
Maureen Swift, given that it is a capital need, is there a chance you could have grants to apply for to help you out with things like that?
Absolutely. And the library, to its credit, over the years, has worked very diligently to look for and apply for grants that are able to help us provide services. A lot of these services that we're offering, particularly in children's services, are actually funded by grants.
But it's difficult to find grants for operating programs on a regular basis?
Yes. There are no grants basically available for operating hours. So the grants that would be available are tend to be very project or program specific.
You know, that question comes up a lot. It's, in fact, it comes up specifically about the libraries themselves, I guess, when you talk about capital money versus operating. It is very easy to get people to approve money, grants, to get voters to approve bond issues, et cetera, for building things, but not necessarily for funding continued operations. And why don't we walk through this as the libraries go? Because I'm sure you heard that through the campaign leading up to the formation of the library district. Why build these big libraries if the county can't run them?
Well, I think at the time the buildings were built, and I was not here locally when that was the case. I moved here in 2007. But when the buildings were built, there actually was the funding available to run the libraries. In 2004, I think, is when then most of the new libraries were open, and I think 2000 was when the bond measure actually went before the voters.
Which is pre-9/11 and in budget surplus at the
right.
federal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And also it was a time when the federal government was still continuing without, at that point, necessarily an end in sight, the timber payments. So the county budget was able to support the library hours at the what we refer to as the pre-closure. Hours, so the dollars that were in effect up to 2007. So the change over time of that money, that timber money going away, really did change the look of the county budget and put pressure on the services that the county was funding out of what they call the general fund.
Maureen Swift, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the members of the Jackson County Library District Board, brand new as of July 1st, with some interesting decisions ahead, as you've heard. Join us on the Exchange if you'd like to take part in our conversation in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Everywhere else in the region, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Jeffrey. Hey, Jeffrey. I see bureaucracy stomping its ugly foot on this process. She just said, we're going to have to go out and buy vehicles. You guys are running a vehicle donation program. Why don't you get it together? You don't have to have a brand new electric car with air conditioning and up-to-the-minute whoop-de-doos. If you've got vehicles, you've got people giving you vehicles, why don't you guys get it together and take the vehicles that are donated to you and sell them at a really reasonable rate to the library instead of going out and buying a brand new one? I don't get it.
Interesting concept. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Maureen, did you ever say brand new, but is that necessarily what's going to happen?
Not necessarily. We have made no thoughts about other than the fact that we will need to buy vehicles. We could very well buy a used vehicle. That will depend on, you know, what's available at the time we're looking and the condition. And, you know, there's a significant amount of miles that go on these vehicles in a year. We'll have to be working through those details, understanding the current operations that the couriers are engaged in, and see what makes the most sense long term. Trust me, we are all, of the five of us, are all very cognizant of the fact that, above all, we have a fiduciary responsibility to the voters of Jackson County to use these funds in the best way possible.
The vehicles that the county currently uses to move around, I'm assuming this is to move books from library to library and other supplies like that.
Yes.
Is there a dedicated fleet just for that, and would they consider selling those to you used?
As far as I know, they are not dedicated, although I could be wrong about that, but they are part of the county fleet. They're maintained by the county. Through whatever mechanisms they use to maintain their fleet vehicles.
All right, we have another email here from Michael. He wants to know where your could your guest tell us where the board members live? Which cities? This whole thing seems very Ashland talent-centric.
Actually, it's not. Jill Turner, our board president, is from Ashland. Our vice president, Monica Wahey, is in Central Point. Carol Doty and I are both Medford, and Susan Kiefer is in Prospect.
Oh, so nobody from either Ashland or Talent.
Ashland, yes, Jill Turner, but
Jill
not
Turner,
from
okay.
Talent.
All right, yeah, got it, okay. So you mentioned the pickup of the hours, so that the hours that the libraries are currently operating, the extra hours in the communities that are paying for them, Ashland, Talent, White City, will continue. Now, what about the additional money that those communities are kicking over? At what point does that end?
Ashland will be making their decision sometime later this month as they determine their tax rate. Because theirs is done by taxes. So that will be their decision to make at that point. Have not heard from Talent directly with regard to their service fee. I don't know what their rules and regulations around that are. So I would have to look at that. White City will be making their decision, I'm sure, now that we have made ours and they have that information. They'll be looking at what they want to do and for how long going forward. The Friends groups who are supporting it and some of the smaller libraries, again, that'll be a decision that they will have to make. Frankly, I'm sure that they would welcome the opportunity to use that fundraising to provide more programming in their libraries instead of trying to maintain the hours. It's been tough on some of them, I know, to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we are talking about this entity that really is just only 18 days old. I mean, how many board meetings have you had thus far?
Official board meetings yesterday was our third. We had our first meeting, I believe it was on the 3rd of July. We held one last week purely for the purpose of selecting an attorney. We needed our own attorney to negotiate our contract with the county. And then yesterday was another board meeting, and again, that was pretty much geared around selecting the rate that we were going to do. And again, we were under a time constraint to do that, and in addition, needed to come up with a number so that we could assist Ashland in doing their rate setting, which they also were under a time constraint for.
How long have any of these three meetings gone on?
The first meeting was only about, I think, 1 to 1.5 hours. Our attorney selection meeting went on for about 3, and I think yesterday we were about 3 hours.
All right. I was going to say there's a lot to do at this point. I mean,
there is.
And I have to wonder there must have been a huge burst of enthusiasm coming in the door, I'm thinking, but this quickly turned into a job, it sounds like.
It has, very much. And I think it took about a week, at least on my part, to go from the absolute euphoria of we've won the election to we've got to run a district. And you start thinking about all of the details that are involved in this. And it becomes, there were days where I just, you know, got completely overwhelmed and just kind of had to walk away. But we're all walking around now with 2 or 3 fairly good-sized binders of contracts and policies that have to be reviewed, things that we're going to have to come up with. So it's been quite overwhelming. We expect that we may continue down the road to hold out of the, you know, I don't know what to call them, but we will be holding special meetings. As needs arise. Our normal meeting is the first Thursday of the month, but we will probably be having additional meetings as things come up and we need to get them done.
All right, I was going to ask you what the meeting schedule was. First Thursday of the month is the regular one.
Is the regular one. That's at 9 o'clock, and it is scheduled currently to be at the Medford Library. We are looking into the possibility down the road of perhaps having an occasional meeting in one of the other library buildings to enable people from those areas to be, you know, slightly more convenient and have a better ability to come and see the board in action.
We'll take a couple more minutes here with Maureen Swift, who is one of the members of the Jackson County Library District Board. The board and the district brand new as of July 1st. Lots of decisions to make, including the tax rate decision yesterday, pegged at 60 cents per thousand, the full amount that was eligible to be taxed under the formation of the district. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. Rogue Valley Local, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So basically you're going to stick with the status quo then. I mean, the LSSI contract runs until July of 2015 or until the end of June 2015?
End of June 2015, yes. And the thing is, if we were to try, we can't assume that contract from the county because that would then open it up to bidding, and we're not prepared to deal with that right now. So the best way to keep out library operations running smoothly is to allow the county to continue with its operation of the LSSI contract. That gives us, you know, until next June to make a, you know, decision on our own about how we will continue to provide the library operations.
And that's a ways down the road, but you got to be thinking about that. I mean, is there a preference perhaps to going to more of a local operation rather than what amounts to an outsourced operation with LSSI?
There is no preference. We established a subcommittee yesterday. Myself and Monica Wahey are on that subcommittee, and we're going to start doing the exploration of what our options are. And, I mean, that's going to be a very long process, but we will look at every option possible. You know, frankly, the libraries are operating well, and a lot of the patrons that we have talked with feel that the libraries are operating well. that is something that we should take into consideration. We have to look at what the expenses will be, because right now, you know, we're 7 years down the road from the last time that was, you know, locally managed, however you want to refer to it. And so there will be a lot of costs involved probably in bringing it back. And again, you know, we're going to look at the most cost-effective way of providing as much library operations to the county as we can.
All right. When you talk about being cost-effective and talking about the tax rate in itself, I mean, when you look at the numbers down the road, I don't know how carefully the projections have been laid out. Is there a chance that once you've gotten through this first fiscal year that you can begin to creep the rate down from the 60 cents per thousand assessed valuation?
It's possible. I don't want to make any guarantees because so many things can change. And, you know, to give you an example, something that you would not have expected in a building that is that new, but last year there was significant roofing that had to be done at the Medford Library. That was a bill in excess of $1 million. Those sorts of things happen. And so, you know, while it would be nice to say we'll let the rate go down or it'll stay, we just don't know, and we do have to have some funds available for contingencies. And even with that, there may be an expense that we're going to look at that may cause the rate that even if we did lower it, we might have to bring it back up. We're going to look very closely at that. We certainly are sensitive to the fact that it's a lot of money additional to what was out there.
All right. Well, a lot of work still ahead, obviously. We'll talk to you down the road. Maureen Swift is a member of the Jackson County Library District Board, and the board and the library district themselves just 18 days old. Maureen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
on The Exchange.
Jeff.
Take care.